If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Christian Watson, and you're listening to Roster Watch. Roster Watch Nation, what is up, and welcome back to the epic Roster Watch waiver wire show for week 9. We go into week 9. The season is half over, Trash Man, and the fantasy football season, the regular season anyway, is two-thirds
half over or half not over?
Half not over. Halfway to the playoffs. Or two-thirds of the way to the fantasy playoffs, depending on your league format. Maybe a little bit closer, maybe a little bit further away. But we're at a pivotal point in the season. There's been a couple of injuries this week. Maybe most notably, the Cam Scataboo injury that I went off on. I went off on a rant yesterday on the Top 10 Thoughts show about, I don't know if you watched Red Zone or not, but the fact that they showed it and they were like, you need to watch this. Like, just peel your eyes away. Don't look. But this is going to be really gruesome. I was like, listen, like, if you're not watching that game, you maybe didn't need to see it there. You could go into Twitter or something. But we had some injuries. Saquon.
Got to get those views.
You got to get those views. But people are watching Red Zone already. You don't need to pop it up on there. Go, you know, I don't know. Anyway.
This is a more general problem in media today. This is not, I mean, like, this is a conversation for another time and place, potentially. There's a lot that could change.
Agreed, 100%. Soft tissue injury for Saquon Barkley in Philadelphia. With a lot up in the air for that. They are on bye this week. Christian Watson, who's dealt with some soft tissue injuries in his career, was back this week. We'll talk about all of it here on the Waiver Wire Cheat Sheet Show. Go get the Waiver Wire Cheat Sheet over at rosterwatch.com with a pro or a premium membership. If you get a premium membership, you get the DFS Hyper tool. You can get the new Hyper Picks tool from rosterwatch.com. Hitting at a great rate right now, 56 or 57% on the season so far. We're getting that thing just cooking going towards the back end of the season. You can get our weekly rankings. You can get Trashman's Flex rankings every week, and you get the Dynasty Top 250, among other things, like communicating with us on the website if you're a pro or a premium member. Trashman, the running back position, I think first and foremost just has to start with Tyrone Tracy this week.
Starts in, maybe ends. No, that is the most pressing, probably situation as far as priority goes on waivers this week at the running back position. Tyrone Tracy getting his starting job back there in New York. Devin Singletary, I guess we'll back him up. You know, I guess in deeper leagues, if Tracy's already been taken, you could add Singletary just, you know, for some giggles. But Tyrone Tracy, yeah, top priority at the running back position this week.
I'm looking at, like, past him, and I see, like, you know, the way it's constructed right now, we're looking at potentially Bigsby being next in line, Spears. I think it really drops off if you consider anything past that. The Bigsby thing, though, not really what I expected to see in the Philadelphia game. Seeing him bust off a couple of big runs. I think he ended up with 98, 97 yards. I can't remember exactly what it was. 91? This is against the Giants. 104. He had 104 yards. They combined for 254. Saquon, after the game, he went out with an injury, and he was stating that he lobbied to re-enter the game, telling reporters, I wasn't worried about it. I came off, but I've dealt with this before. Nothing crazy. Again, the note was that it was a groin injury. You go back and look at the history of Saquon Barkley's injuries. He has not had a groin injury. It's been an arm, elbow, ankle, neck, ACL, MCL, hamstring in 2018. He missed 8 days of fall camp. He was ready for week one. And then ankle injuries. We haven't had a groin injury officially hit, I guess, the ticker officially. And so then he says later on, they asked him about his concern level for playing week 10. They, of course, have a bye in week nine. And he seemed uncertain. This was the quote. Doesn't really make a lot of sense. They said, what do you think about your status for week 10? He seemed uncertain. Quote, no, I don't. No, I mean, no, I don't. No, I don't know. I don't have the answer. I really don't know. That was the whole quote. None of that makes any sense. But like he said before, I wasn't worried about it. I came off and I've dealt with this before and I was ready to go back in. I think what Bigsby showed, though, in that game was enough to say, all right, where the team's at right now, they're 6-2. Yeah. Like, let's not press
why risk hurting Barkley further when you can, you know, rest him up for the playoffs, get Bigsby in there, the big body, take some of those hits, get that yardage. I mean, yeah. I mean, if you are a Barkley owner, you have to pick up Bigsby this week. You have to.
Well, that's the question I wanted to ask, was because, like, Will Shipley got some snaps. He didn't do anything with it, but Will Shipley's always been like the guy that was next in line. He's the, nobody's next, to, nobody's the next Saquon. Nobody is Saquon. But if there was a player that they had that was closest resembling to what Saquon was, it's Will Shipley from the dynamism standpoint, from the pass catching perspective. Like, that was the guy that you were like, this is your poor man's version of him. Shipley had 12% of the snaps in week eight, 11% of the,
but they didn't have Tank Bigsby then.
Correct. And that's what I'm saying, is like, they've had Shipley. Shipley was in this game, had 12% of the snaps. Bigsby came in, blitzed one down the sideline off the rip, got the hot hand. He had 8% of the snaps in week seven, 26% this week in week eight. And he took the ball and ran with it. My question, my worry is, again, that was a big run right off the clip. And that was like, all right, well, this guy's hot. Let's keep him in. Was it that situation? Do you think he's just the de facto two? Like, is there, and why, the reason I'm bringing this up is just to ask, like, again, we're looking at here, this is clearly Tyrone Tracy at the top. Everything past this, whether it's Spears, the Zonovan Knight situation in Arizona, Isaiah Davis had a great week. I think there's a conversation with Isaiah
Davis. He did, but Breece Hall had a greater week.
Correct. But I think there's still, like, I wonder if there's a little bit of a standalone situation brewing there if the injuries are still there in the Jets receiving room. Nonetheless, Bigsby could potentially be in tier two by himself in this whole conversation if we believe that Tank Bigsby is clearly the two ahead of Shipley. My question is just that, is like, do you think if Saquon misses week 10, is this going to be a 60-40, a 70-30, a 50-50? Is potentially Shipley the one that gets the snaps? That's why I'm asking. Like, I don't want people to go out and spend 12, 13, 14, 15% on a guy like Bigsby and then him kind of be sitting in a chair in the corner with Shipley starting.
I mean, I don't really see that. I mean, just because, you know, when he was in Jacksonville, I mean, he was a contested starter there. I just don't see him taking a back seat to Shipley, considering how he came out this past week. And Shipley, he doesn't really profile as the top two down back. I mean, he's done well in stints, but that's not really what he's designed for, what he's built for. Bigsby, you have that big body who's shown to be able to, you know, carry the load. To me, it just makes the most sense to have him in there and have him be that guy, especially after what he showed this past week. But, I mean, you know, you pick up Shipley too. I guess the question is, you know, do you want to spend all this money on Tank Bigsby? The thing is, like, you aim for Tracy top, you know, if you don't get him, you put a lesser bid on Bigsby and you take your chances there. The thing is, if you're in a situation where you are angling for these guys and you really need help at the running back position, you take your shots, you know. If we're halfway through the season, if you're a losing team, if you got a losing record, now is the time to make moves. Scared money don't make none.
Facts. Running back, I want to add in a couple of other nuggets and thoughts here. And Devin Singletary is also behind Tyrone Tracy. You know, he had 16% of the snaps in week 8, really didn't do much of anything. He was down to 6 and 3% his season lows in week 6 and 7 before this injury. He had peaked at 31% back in week 5. Again, he wasn't doing anything with any of it. I anticipate people asking the question of, like, you know, obviously Cam Skeddy was up for the year. This team isn't that great. Singletary's been getting annoying touches at times. 16% of the snaps, though, this last week. I anticipate Tyrone Tracy to go and take on that full, like, an 82%, 80% opportunity share here. So Singletary's on the list, but he's going to be much further down. He's going to be more of like a free ad if Thursday comes around and you're like, all right, I'm in the spot where I got a bunch of buys, whatever. Any other running backs on here? I have interest, like I said. I think Ollie Gordon had a good week. I mean, he was splitting carries with Devon Achane for the better part of that game. Looked good, averaged 4.6 yards per carry, and then Achane kind of took a bulk of the carries in like the third, fourth quarter, and he ended up with 18. Ollie Gordon with just 10. Gordon did have one target to Achane's 7. The other running back would be, like I said, Isaiah Davis for the Jets. They finally
Kareem Hunt's on there. I feel like after last night,
that's probably right. Breshard Smith hasn't done a dang like he's kind of petered out.
No, I thought he was going to maybe get some more run with, you know, Hunt being maybe a little bit questionable coming into this week. That wasn't the case. Hunt showed out. Looks like Hunt's their most. I mean, he's their most dynamic back, which is kind of crazy considering, you know, how long he's been around. But he's getting the goal line stuff. He's just like a utility knife for them. And that offense is just getting better with the return of Rashi Rice, more scoring opportunities. I think it makes sense to you know, get a piece of that backfield and Hunt, you know, for all intents and purposes, looks like the most useful asset back there.
So you think we should switch Kareem Hunt and have him ahead of Breshard Smith?
I think so.
Okay. Any other running back thoughts here? Isaiah Davis had a good week, but like you said, so did Breece Hall. Davis had 7 for 65. Hall went borderline nuclear, 18 for 133 and 2. Out of the backfield was where Isaiah Davis made the hay, that we had 5 targets, caught all 5 for 44 yards, second on the team. From a snaps perspective and overall opportunity perspective, Hall was in for 57% of the snaps, up from 53% in week 7. Isaiah Davis, 48% in week 7, 44% this week. So, like, it's a split. It's a tight split. But obviously, Breece is the alpha here. Is there standalone enough value here to get Isaiah Davis? Like, is he – can you trust him as much as you can trust Tyler Allgeier in a standalone type of situation in a not, like, weekly – like, you can't trust Allgeier weekly in that standalone spot, but in certain matchups you can.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. And that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Well, the thing with Dave is, I mean, like, they have a bye this week. So that's giving an extra week for receivers to get healthy there in New York. And then after that, you get Cleveland and then New England, both who have been really stout against the run. So for me, that lowers Davis as a priority. First, it being a bye, and then the two games after the bye looking like, you know, tough sledding for running backs. Yeah, you know, this game against the Bengals was arguably the best matchup you can have for a running back in the league. So, I mean, just, you know, all that confluence of events kind of, I think, makes Davis a less attractive priority as on waivers this week, at least.
Wide receiver, the biggest thing was our Senior Bowl stud, Christian Watson, returned to the Green Bay Packers receiving room, ran 65% of the routes. What that did, Romeo Doubs still ran 86%, didn't change from week 7. Golden dropped 6% from 82% to 76%. Dontavian Wicks did not play in this game. Obviously, no Jaden Reed. And then Savion Williams was borderline a nothing burger here. Christian Watson, though, I mean, I saw a text come through in the Roster Watch chat last night, and Byron must have been going to look for him, and he's like, damn it, Trashman already added him. So how heavy are we in on Christian Watson this week?
I mean, you got to be pretty heavy. I mean, if you watch the game in a pinch, you know, in those situations where they had to get the yards, Love was looking for Watson. You know, he depends on him. He trusts him. As long as he stays healthy, I think he's going to be a really important asset for that ascending Green Bay offense. I mean, you look at the game that Love had, you know, 20 completions in a row. I want a piece of that offense. And Watson is what, he's like 16% owned right now. So yeah, you got to go out and get it if you can. It could be a league winner if he stays healthy.
4 for 4 for 85 yards, did exactly kind of what I expected, opened up the underneath, and Tucker Kraft went nuclear with 140 and 2. This Packer team looks great, and Love had his kind of breakout game. It was pretty fun to watch. Anybody that really stands out after Watson? I know Butte's had a good 3-week stretch here. I tried to convince Alex to rank Butte ahead of Diggs last week in the rankings. He lost to P. Terry's burger over that. do you like Butte up in this category? Is he the only one? Is there anybody else that belongs up here in this 10 to 15% area?
Butte definitely deserves to be there. I feel like Tez Johnson, he led the Buccaneers in receiving, you know, which didn't say much considering, you know, 43 yards, I think, was, you know, the tops for a Buccaneer receiver in that game. But the fact that he led in receiving, the fact that Mike Evans isn't going to be back this season, I think Tez Johnson, there's a lot of juice there for him. I think if there's another guy who can stretch the field, be a big playmaker on a good offense that is, you know, with a winning record, on a team with a winning record that's going to keep pushing, I think Tez Johnson is that guy. Troy Franklin, I guess there's an argument for that. It's just like, I feel like there's so much variation in his output. You know, he's had some good back-to-back games, but I feel like he's a boom or bust candidate. You know, you look him up, look that up in the dictionary, and you'll see a picture of Troy Franklin. But I think if there's somebody else who can take a hard look at there, for upside the second half of the season, I think Franklin's there. I think, you know, you have to look at these Houston receivers. It's a crowded receiving core there just for the targets. I mean, man, they all look pretty good. Tony Hutchinson, Jalen Noel, and Jaden Higgins. They all had good fantasy output this past week. It's going to be hard on a week-to-week basis to kind of tell which of those guys is going to get the targets. Malik Washington had the best game he's had this season so far. And then there's Kadarius Hodge in Atlanta, who actually led the Falcons in receiving. It wasn't Mooney. It was Kadarius Hodge with Drake London out.
Wasn't that just a kick in the shorts, the Darnell Mooney thing on Sunday? I was like fully in, 10 toes down. I was like, if London doesn't play, like, Mooney is a must play, and just kicked in the shorts. Kyle Pitts, 9 targets, 9 receptions, and then Kadarius Hodge is just out here getting 8 targets and doing nothing with it. Definitely, though, like, something to keep an eye on. Like, that, I mean, we should have realized that from, we've seen it before with Kadarius Hodge earlier this season when the opportunity came about. You brought up Troy Franklin. I brought this up yesterday on the show. I'm going to move him in Dynasty up into like the top 70, top 75. I think right now we have him around 138, 134, I want to say, consensus between us. And I mean, I don't know. He, overall wide receiver 1 week against the Cowboys. The Cowboys aren't great. I get that. But that connection with Bo Nix, he looks, it was the first game where I sat and I watched the whole game and like just watched him. And I really, I mean, I don't know. I like Troy Franklin at Oregon. Wasn't the biggest fan. Didn't rank him nearly as high as maybe I should have in rookie rankings, but he's a scrawny, you know, 6'2", feel like he was about 175. I think he's a little heavier than that, but scrawnier dude, but he plays bigger than that. And he looked the part, and that's big, I think. And in this offense, like overall wide receiver one, he obviously Courtland Sutton's approaching 30. Pat Bryant looks good. Evan Engram looks good. But Troy Franklin looked like he was a level above the rest of the guys in that roster. So I definitely like the Troy Franklin thing, and I would be interested. I mean, I've put in a couple of claims on him already. I'd be interested in him ahead of guys like DK in Tennessee, just because the Tennessee thing is just gross to me. Like, I think DK has looked good, not as good as Franklin. I don't know. The Trey Tucker thing is wishy-washy still. I know he had the big week, just like Franklin at wide receiver one. So did Trey Tucker. I know. I don't know. I think that's an interesting area, though, nonetheless. Do you think the Tez Johnson stuff continues as that wide receiver room gets healthier in Tampa?
I think so, just because Godwin and Johnson kind of do opposite things. Not opposite, but they do different things. Johnson is that big play guy, is that field stretcher. Godwin, more of your possession guy. So I feel like Johnson will still have a role as Godwin gets healthy in that offense.
And they clearly want Tez to be the guy, and they're smartly moving more off the Sterling Shepard train. I know Sterling Shepard plays more of the Godwin role than anything, but they're smartly giving more opportunity to Tez. We saw Shepard drop 5%, 13% week over week from week six, in route share, and Tez Johnson up from 74% to 96% of the routes this last week for Tampa. So I think that's really telling. He's also one of these guys that puny guys like Trey Tucker and Josh Downs, just like, you know, the BMI is like 8, and not really, but you get the point. I do like Tez, though. That's an offense that just it feels like that boat is just going to keep rowing in Tampa as long as Baker Mayfield's there. And they didn't even really have to press down on the gas pedal this last week against New Orleans, and they just got the job done. And Tez, you know, didn't quite get there, but he got there, 9.3 fantasy points in PPR. Any deep wide receivers that you think maybe in the next couple of weeks might pop their head up that you have on here, that like if you kind of like the you know, Singletary conversation we had or whatever, like if you don't get somebody tomorrow on your waiver claim, like who's somebody that maybe it's like a Thursday guy that's going to be a freebie, like Roman Wilson right off the rip in that game.
Do you
like DK? Okay, so DK, okay,
DK, I mean, like leading the Titans in receiving the last 2 weeks. I mean, I definitely like him more than Iyo Manor right now.
More of a
rapport with Cam Ward.
Yeah, clearly. Yeah, I mean, that Iyo Manor thing is interesting because he started out solid, and it just kind of like petered out. I brought up Roman Wilson because Roman Wilson started this game off. We had the prop of DK Metcalf, 10.5 receiving yards first quarter. He's been smashing it all year. And Roman Wilson gets the first ball of the game and goes 45 with it. Roman ends up leading the Steelers on Sunday Night Football, 4 for 74 and a touchdown. He was in on 54% of the routes for the second consecutive week, up from 26% week six, obviously 4% week four. Looks like he's getting healthy. And the one thing I'll just attach to Roman Wilson from Michigan, second year in the league, is that this is a guy that Aaron Rodgers liked working with this year. And Aaron Rodgers just said, like, as soon as Roman gets going, we're going to really, like, he likes Roman. So that's like, if Rodgers is on your side and that offense, I think it means a little bit. So I think that'll be a decent freebie here late in the week to potentially just stash away if you have an open roster spot. I do like that.
That's fair.
Any tight ends?
I mean, Harold Fannin still isn't owned in enough leagues. He's still leading the Browns in receiving. The wide receivers are doing squat out there, but, you know, that's probably more of an artifact of the quarterback play. But Gabriel loves him some Fannin and Njoku. And Fannin just seems to be a favorite target of any quarterback who happens to be playing for the Browns. So I think he's definitely somebody who needs to be owned in more leagues. And then Juwan Johnson, we thought he was maybe going to fade away with Taysom Hill coming back and with Foster Moreau coming back, but he's actually bounced back. You know, I think he had one down game, but the last 2 weeks, he's actually put up pretty good numbers, especially for a tight end. So Juwan Johnson, definitely somebody who we should get back into lineups based on his recent play. Colson Loveland, I think with Cole Kmet being out, I mean, there's maybe opportunity for him there to step up a bit. We've yet to really see it, but the opportunity, I think, will be there. But those are the guys right now. And then Dalton Schultz, who just continues to be, to have a high floor in that Houston offense. Definitely somebody who you should consider if, you know, you just need the guaranteed, you know, 7-8 points out of that tight end position. Mason Taylor, he's also in that conversation, although, like you said, it is a bye week for the Jets, so he's not as much of a priority this week.
Not as much as a priority, but 10 of 33 targets in that offense went to tight ends, and Mason Taylor looks good, and he's growing in the offense. I like that. All right, quarterbacks. Tyler Shook just was announced as, I mean, not really a shock, but he was just announced officially as a starting quarterback for the New Orleans Saints. Not that it really matters, because you're not going to play him unless you have to.
I think boosts Juwan Johnson's stock a little bit more, just because, I mean, you have young quarterbacks. They depend on their tight ends. They need that safety blanket.
Rams
actually maybe Panthers. Gives a little bit of juice to Devin Neal, who caught, you know, had three targets. On Sunday.
They got the Rams and Panthers the next 2 weeks on the road before a bye. And then it eases up a little bit with the Falcons, Dolphins, Panthers, Jets, Titans down the stretch. Could be some back end of the season fantasy points there to be scored if we can identify who Shuck really does like. Any other quarterbacks or defenses of consequence? I this is a dynasty league, 2QB dynasty league. I put in a waiver claim this week on Max Brosmer. Because right. I lost Wentz, and I have JJ. Yeah, Wentz. I have to get Brosmer as my backup.
Well, I think there's a real, chance that he gets some starter snaps, maybe in the near future too, with JJ McCarthy just having so many issues with his health, Wentz being injured. I think there's a real chance for Brosmer. I don't really know much about him. I know he did well. Was it Minnesota? No. Where did he play? Yep. Was it Minnesota?
Yep.
He did well there in his last season. I've yet to, really see what he can do in the NFL, but I think he might actually get a chance.
I like that. The defenses we got on here this week are, Detroit and L.A.? I think Cincinnati has a bye in week 10. Otherwise, that would be a good one as well. All right. Let's play the game. I like this game. You guys do it every single week, so I'm gonna ask you some questions, Trash Man. Can you drop him? We talked about him before. Breshard Smith.
Yes.
Kenny Gainwell.
Yeah, you can drop him.
At the wide receiver position, Sterling Shepard.
Yeah.
Darnell Mooney's a zero.
Can we drop Darnell Mooney?
Yeah.
I mean, I would drop it for Watson.
Kelvin Austin?
You can drop him. Especially with Wilson ascending.
This guy has been running north of 80% of the snaps all season long. Scored north of 10 fantasy points zero times since week one. Can you drop Jerry Jeudy?
Yeah, you can drop Jeudy.
This is Anthony Richardson, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
This is AJ Brown, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
This is Josh Allen, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.